Our scripture lesson today is from 2 Corinthians, the epistle text that is assigned to us for this day. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost earnestness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this manner I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something, now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. For as it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Several years ago, a young woman was going to be making her first profession of faith here at First Federated Church. She was going to be baptized, much like the child that we had baptized this morning. But she was a little bit nervous. She was a professional, and she asked one of our executive board members, "How much does it cost to join this church?" The board member did not quite know how to answer that question, and so he came and asked me, "What should I have said to her? How much does it cost to join the church?" Now, it's not an unreasonable question at all. After all, there is a proverb that is common in our culture that there's no such thing as a free lunch. Everything has a price. We go to see the movies, maybe Incredible 2. We go to see plays. When we join a fraternal or a social organization, there are always dues and costs. And country clubs not only have dues and meal plans, but they also oftentimes have year-end assessments. So how would you answer this inquirer's question? How much does it cost to join the church? Some people would say that the cost of church membership is found in what's called a per capita. That is an apportionment that Presbyterians in particular pay, but that we also give to the United Church of Christ. That is about $32 a year per member. I call this a franchise fee to help us identify ourselves as either Presbyterian or United Church of Christ. It covers administrative costs at various levels of the greater church. This past summer, our finance committee asked a member of the Presbyterian Foundation to come and give us some free consultation on the church's endowment policies. The consultation yielded good results and good information, and it came free because of congregations like us who contribute a per capita basis. But if every member only paid their per capita and nothing more, then the church's operating budget would be $20,000 a year. And all of us know that that is not sustainable. As a matter of fact, earlier this year, I was moderating a governing board of the Bethel Presbyterian Church on the south end of Peoria. With an average of 11 in worship, they had to dissolve, and their annual budget was greater than $30,000 a year. Maybe the cost of membership should be based upon how much it costs us each week to have a worship service here in the sanctuary or in the Garth. Each week, we invest approximately $2,497.30 in our worship experience, and this does not include utilities or insurance or other miscellaneous items. Should a fee be charged at the door, like when you go to the movies? But then, if that's the case, where is the grace? As the prophet in Isaiah said, "Ho, you who have no money, come eat, drink plenty of the milk and of the honey." Grace, grace, God's grace. Amazing grace. Maybe members should be based on a carte blanche basis. You know, you pay what you, the ministries that you like or that you use. But then I suspect that some ministries would go wanting. Things like utilities, insurance, repairs, and things like that. Maybe the church should be like a country club and have a year-end assessment, but then it wouldn't be a church. It would be a private club, open to only a select few who could afford the price. There are all kinds of ways in which one could answer the question that the inquirer asked of our board member: how much does it cost to join the church? But I would submit to you that that is the wrong question. And if you ask the wrong question, you will get the wrong answer. Maybe the price of membership has already been paid. Have you ever considered that? Maybe it was paid 2,000 years ago on a hill far away by a man on a cross. In the letter to the Corinthians that I shared with you this morning, the Apostle Paul wrote these words: "For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." In what is arguably Paul's last letter, the church in Rome, he wrote these words: "We were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through him?" The price of membership has already been paid by the life and the blood of Jesus Christ. And the baptismal font, as well as the communion table, are visible signs of an invisible truth that the cost of membership into the body of Christ is not dollars and cents, but it is on a lives dedicated and given wholly to the glory of God. And so if that be true, then a more appropriate question for us to consider would be the one that the prophet Micah asked 700 years before Jesus was even born. He asked the nation of Israel, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high?" In other words, how do I respond to God's grace in my life? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, the doxology says. Count your many blessings, count them one by one, the old hymn says. How much are those blessings worth to us? What is our return on investment, or ROI? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, right after the Beatitudes, "Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also." A corollary to that teaching of Jesus is how we spend our money reveals to us what it is that we really treasure. Now, make no mistake, today's epistle lesson does not encourage poverty, but rather it encourages generosity in the face of our abundance. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I do not mean it is a question of balance between your abundance and their need. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough, you may share abundantly." So the question is not, how much does it cost to join the church, or what is my fair share? But the question is, how do I respond to God's unmerited, undeserved, unearned grace in my life? With what shall I bring into the Lord? To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. Would you join me in the spirit of prayer? Our Lord God, we bow before you in the context of worship with prayers of intercession. We offer the prayers of our own hearts and minds, as well as prayers for others and this world that you created good. In this silence now, hear our various and sundry prayers for ourselves as well as for others. Lord God, we are thankful for the abundance of your blessings that we so often take for granted. We pray for those who could not be with us today because of travel or conflict or illness. We pray for those who are sick or who are dying, who find themselves in care centers or in hospitals undergoing care. We pray for doctors and nurses who provide your healing touch and your hand of comfort. We pray for the custodial staff that keeps all of those facilities clean and sanitary. Lord God, we pray also for our neighbors and for our city, our country, and for all the nations of the world. There is too much conflict and turmoil, not only in our own lives, but in our neighborhoods and our communities and our cities, where war, destruction, and famine cut lives short and destroy the good creation that you made. We pray for the day when the Prince of Peace shall come in fullness and turn swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. We pray for the President of the United States and the Governor of the State of Illinois, for the Mayor of this city, as well as all of the surrounding municipalities. We pray for the rulers of the world. Give them the wisdom and the guidance that they need. And Lord God, we pray for the members of our Executive Board and our Board of Deacons as they carry out their various ministries. May they be faithful in their calling and in the trust that we have placed upon them. And Lord God, help us to rededicate our lives to serving you, to put aside our own desires and our own wants and wishes, but rather to listen to your still small voice that continues to speak to us today, if only we would take the time and have the ears to hear and the eyes to see. All of these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen.